Give you a warm welcome as we meet together, as we come in a new year. Almost feels like a new start sometimes, sometimes not so, but it's an opportunity to meet and worship our God, whether we're here in the building or whether you're joining us online. Our hymns very much, our songs very much today are focusing on a new year and looking forward and having a God who is not controlled by time, a God who was the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that's the nature that we pick up our first hymn, which is God of the Ages, history's maker, planning our pathway and holding us fast, shaping in mercy all that concerns us. Father, we praise you, Lord of the past. Let's stand and sing with the music. Should come in prayer to that great God. Let's bow our heads, our hearts and our minds as we pray. Father God, as we come before you in prayer this morning, we ask for your help. Lord, we acknowledge that you are a great God. Lord, you're far above what our minds can imagine, what our minds can think, what our minds can understand. Lord, you're a God over time. Before time was, you were. And we look back and we think about a great God that has created so much. And we come and ask that you would help us to put our trust in you. We know that the society that we live in, the community that we are, does change. Times do change. But we are so thankful that you do not change. As we look through the past year, we can think of the many ways that you have helped us. We can think of the many prayers that you have answered. And we pray that as we go forward into a new year, that you would strengthen our faith, that we would be looking to you in our lives, that we would be wanting to live our lives the way that you would have us live. And we pray that in each circumstances that we go through, we would be looking to you in them. We pray and thank you for your word. We thank you that it's a word that doesn't change. And as we go from one year into the next, we acknowledge, Lord, our sin. And we ask for repentant hearts. We ask that we would come before you, acknowledging that we have done wrong, looking to you for forgiveness, looking to you for help, not to fall to temptation, not to fall to sin. And we pray for any who do not know you. We pray for any that don't understand what sin does for their lives, that don't understand that they need you as a saviour. Because one day there will be that time when you do return, where time is no more, where we will each face the judgment. And for those of us that know you as our saviour, for those of us that love you because you have drawn us to you, we look forward to that day. But we pray for those who don't know you as their saviour. We ask that your Holy Spirit would convict them of their sin, would point them to Jesus, and would draw them into your kingdom. We pray, if that could be possible today, in your mercy, that that would happen. Lord God, we want to remember the activities of this church. We want to remember the outreach work that we are involved in, through all the different ages, as in from the toddlers through to the children, through to the teenagers, the young people, Lord, through to us as adults. And Lord, we pray for those who are older too. We ask that in each of the activities that you would be working, that you would be reaching out into the hearts of those, Lord, who are there, who are being taught from your word, and we pray that lives would be changed. Lord, we pray that as we come under your word, you would be changing our lives, that we would be wanting to live in a way that honours you and pleases you. We pray for our own personal Bible reading at home, that you would be speaking to us as we read quietly by ourselves. Lord, we pray for our corporate worship. We pray as we come under your word, as we meet Sunday by Sunday, Thursday by Thursday, that you would be speaking to us. We ask that you would be with John this morning as he brings your word to us. Lord, we ask that we would be willing hearers and that we'd be wanting to put into our lives what you are teaching us. Lord, we want to, at the start of a new year, commit John and Mark to you. And for those who serve our church, whether it be in an eldership role, whether it be in a deacon role, that you'd help them as they lead us. Lord, we pray that you'd strengthen them. We pray that you would keep them from Satan, that you would protect them. We pray that you'd keep them from sin. And we pray that their whole direction, that they would be looking to you for strength in the roles that you have given them. Father God, we want to remember those who are abroad. We think of those, especially those we support in Cyprus with James and Rachel, with Rosie in Papua New Guinea, with the Saywells in the Philippines, and ask that you would bless them as they serve you in the places that you have put them. Lord God, we remember that there are times when it is tough. There are times when we do face difficulty. There are times when we are stressed. And that may be for many reasons, whether that be financial, whether that be through health, whether that be through work, whether that be through broken relationships. We pray that in those times of difficulty that we would look to you. Lord, we'd look to you for strength. We'd look to you for comfort. We'd look to you for peace. And Lord, we'd even look to you for joy, as we know that you have told us we will go through these times and that they would be used to get us ready to become more like you. Lord, we do want to commit to you Richard at this moment, Lord, who used to be with us. We pray for his dad in hospital. We pray that you'd be with him as a family, especially over these next 24 hours. Lord, we ask that you would give recovery from that difficult situation, that difficult illness, that difficult time that they find themselves in. We pray that they would look to you, that they would be praying to you for your help. And we pray that you would bless them, even in this difficulty. Perhaps, Lord God, you would be drawing Richard to yourself, and we do pray for that. Lord God, while we remember the difficulties, and we do remember the joys, we thank you when there are times that you bless us. We thank you when times go well. We ask that in those times we would have thankful hearts, looking to you gratefully for the way that you are blessing us. Lord, we commit Tim to you this morning as he starts work tomorrow. We pray that you would help him, Lord, after such a long time. Lord, we pray that you would go before him, after that year and a half of difficulty. Lord God, again, we want to commit this morning to you and ask that you would help John as he brings your word to us. And we pray that we would be ready listeners and willing followers, looking to you, we pray. We ask this for your honour and for your glory. Amen. We're going to sing our next song, which is Lord of the Years. So, Lord for the years, your love has kept and guided, urged and inspired us, cheered us on our way, sought us and saved us, pardoned and provided. Lord of the years, we bring our thanks today. And let's stand with the music.
Good morning. Now, did any of you see the snow last night? Were you in bed? Did you see it? Oh, good. Excellent. So you missed it, because it's gone this morning, hasn't it? I don't know. Well, it looked a little bit like that. How many adults went out in it? Put your hands up. So you don't need to be nervous. So I had a little wonder in the snow last night, so I can show you what it looked like. There you go. I was very excited. Do you know, I went for a walk and it was horrible actually because it was so slippery it took me ages to get round the roads. But never mind. We went for a nice walk. That was late at night when it was starting to rain a little bit. But it got me thinking a little bit about snow and making things. Now, what sort of things can you make with snow? Yeah. Snowballs. Yeah, good. So there you go. There's a snowball. Quite a big one. Imagine getting hit by that in the face. Whew. Yeah, what else? Snowman. So here you go. So here's a picture that I got sent just this morning from a family member up in Leeds where the snow is still there. Look at that. There's a snowman. There's two little snowmen, actually. Can you see the little one? It's a bit white, isn't it? But there you go. Two snowmen. Yeah, anything else you can make with snow? What about a shark? That's quite cool, isn't it? There you go. Yeah. Snow. Oh, yeah, you can do those, can't you, where you lie on the ground. And yeah, those are good. And I came across three brothers, and every year they make a different sort of snow sculpture of something in the ocean. And every year they make a new one. Are you ready for this? These are cool. Look at that. So Austin, Connor and Trevor Bartz, and that is a puffer fish. That's cool, isn't it? Look at this. Ready? Oh, that's got to take a bit of work, hasn't it? Reminds me of Jonah. There you go. Or this one. Look at that. That's great, isn't it? Better than I've ever done in my garden. Or this one. Look at that, a walrus. And then I think this is my favourite coming up. Yeah, look at that. It's fun, isn't it? Now, do any of you like creating things? Do you like making things with your hands? Yeah. Do you like drawing things? Yeah, being creative. And you know, one of the reasons why we're creative is because God is creative. God created everything, didn't he? And you know, in fact, if you were to look at every little snowflake, you know what snowflakes look like, don't you? You've seen snowflakes. Yeah, they look a little bit like this. And every single snowflake is different because there are trillions and trillions and trillions of ways that they can be formed. And they are beautiful, and it's part of God's amazing creation. But do you know what else God made? God made something even more impressive than all of those things. He made you and he made me. And God is the creator of those things. It's like he sculpted us. He made us. And tonight we're going to be looking at Psalm 86, and I've stolen a verse for this morning. And this is what it says. It says, "All the nations you have made shall come and worship before you, O Lord." And what it's saying is all the nations, God has made all of them. And we're part of that. So we're in England, and God has made all of us. And one day all of us will come and we're going to worship before God. But this is saying that because we've been made by God, God deserves our worship. He deserves our worship. And the Bible says we should worship him now. We shouldn't wait till later. We should worship him now because he's made us. And so what I want you to do, as you go into this week, as you go back to school and all those things, I want you to think about the fact that God made me. And so he deserves to be worshipped. And so I just want you to think about, do you worship God? Do you praise God because he made you and he's wonderful? Well, my encouragement is for you to praise God. Okay, thank you very much for listening.
Thank you, Mark. I think there's a lesson for each of us there, not just the children, isn't there? We're going to read now from Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23. It's a reading about the faith of people who have followed God. And John's title today is Running the Race. Running the Race. We started the theme of faith for those of us who were out on Thursday night. John H. led us through Peter as his faith failed as he left the boat to walk on the water towards Jesus. The three headings, if you can remember, an extraordinary faith, an encouraging faith, and an enduring faith. And we're going to carry on with that theme of faith this morning. So Hebrews chapter 11 verse 23, which is on page 1008 in the Chapel Bibles. And we're reading down through to 12, verse 3. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. By faith, the people crossed the Red Sea as on dry land. But the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab, the prostitute, did not perish with those who were disobedient, because she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains, and in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Before John comes and preaches from that passage we just read, we're going to sing our next song, which very much takes up the theme of this reading, By Faith. By faith we see the hand of God in the light of creation's grand design, in the lives of those who prove his faithfulness, who walk by faith and not by sight. And let's stand with the music.
Thank you. Well, most of us don't feel our fittest and our finest as a result of Christmas. And as a result, there's often some resolutions in the new year. It's estimated that 75% of Brits will make a New Year's resolution at the start of this year, with a higher proportion being those who are younger, interestingly enough. Last year, what were the top three last year, 2024, the top three resolutions? Any suggestions what they might have been, general sort of area? Weight, fit, stop drinking. Yep, they were all on the list. Exercise more was top, 48%. So 48% people are going to get out their running shoes or join the gym or something else or start walking more. Save more money was equal top. Eat healthier, 45% just underneath. So exercise and running are taken up or resumed quite a lot at this time of the year. And there can be good reasons for that. There can be wise reasons for that. But you may be relieved that I'm not going to sort of join the chorus this morning to make sure that you all exercise more. That is not my business this morning. So if exercise is not your thing, stay with me through this message this morning. But there is another sort of running that I do want to urge you in. I do want to encourage you in on the first Sunday of this year, 25. And it's in our passage, Hebrews 12 verses 1 and 2 are our verses this morning. Let me read them again and spot the running that we have in the middle. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. So there in the middle is the running I'm urging this morning. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. It's the race of the Christian life. It pictures following Jesus as a run. You don't have to be naturally athletic to do this. It's a race that we should all be on. We can all be on. We can start this race. We can keep on this race. And I want to make a number of points from these verses about this race this morning. But first, I want to ask you whether you've joined this race. I want to ask you whether you've joined this race, whether you've ever started following Jesus. Is your life sort of aimless with no direction? You feel that at the start of a new year? I don't know what life's about. And another year has passed and why am I here? What on earth am I doing? Jesus said, follow me. And that's the best way for you to go through 2025. To put your trust in him as your saviour. To turn to him as your director. To start running the race of the Christian life. You may or may not start running for the first time January this year. But I would urge you to start this race. The new year is a good time to start to follow Jesus. It's a good time to start to follow him publicly and openly. So maybe you need to start this running and this race. But for others, this morning will be an encouragement to keep running, to keep following. To do so with purpose and strength and with focus. The Hebrews who this was written to were flagging. They were struggling. Life was difficult for them. Some of them were wondering about leaving the Christian life and returning back to their sort of Jewish practices in a Christless way. And he's urging them to keep going and to keep running this race. So as we start, maybe some of us, or we resume and keep going with this race, these verses are going to tell us at least six things this morning about how to run. Six things about this race. And I'm going to linger a little longer on the last one because it's so significant in these verses. So here goes. First, run encouraged. Run encouraged. So normal exercise and can seem an effort, can't it? And we need encouragement to sort of get moving and to keep moving. And that helps as well in the Christian race. The setting of these verses here is of encouragement. Verse 1, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. He's drawing on the whole of the previous chapter of which we read of some. And the chapter lists many of the heroes of the faith who kept going during difficult times, who trusted God, who kept obeying his word. And there's list of them. Lots of names, lots of powerful accounts referred to in chapter 11. And they can be seen as a crowd urging us on. Now in April last year, I got a short video clip on my WhatsApp from Hannah, our middle daughter. It was at the end of her road, she's in Bermondsey, and the London Marathon was coming past. And here's 7 seconds of what she sent to us. But especially notice the encouragement, if it works out. I'm going to run it through twice because it's only 7 seconds. There we go, 7 seconds. Some of the top runners in the world, some of the world record breakers, they're running at the end of her road and she caught it. But notice the encouragement, the whooping, the clapping, the cheering. Be encouraged as you run, and it makes a big difference to somebody who's running. Well, the Bible characters, the Bible accounts, encourage you in your running, in your race. They say, God is trustworthy. God keeps his promises. God won't let you down. Keep going. There's a voice cheering from the Bible to encourage us. Now, in the new year, people can feel quite tired and delicate, and maybe you feel sagging a bit. A bit more about that this afternoon. And I want you this morning to feel the encouragement of this passage. Run the race of the Christian life encouraged. Have a look at Hebrews 11. Get your Bibles open again. Be encouraged by what's in it. Run with others. Run with others. Now we admire those who run on their own, don't we? Perhaps you think of people, solitary runners. Quite a few do that. My mind goes to Mo Farah when he's training for the Olympics of 10,000 metres, 5,000 metres, and the running he did on his own through the hills and the mountains to get ready for the race. But most find it easier to run with others, or many do. That's why there's the success of the park runs. You turn up on a Saturday morning at 9 o'clock and there's lots of people there and you urge each other on. There's a sort of community feel to it and you run with others. I think it's significant the way he puts it here. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. You know, running the Christian race is best done in community. It's best done in community. If you isolate yourself from other Christians, it will be harder. That's not the best way through 2025, if you can help it. Are you at risk of drifting? Of stopping contact with Christians? Missing services or Bible studies when you don't need to? Slack in responding to Christians who are trying to make contact and reach out to you? Run as part of the pack. Run as part of the pack. Just a couple of chapters earlier, he'd said this to them, Hebrews 10:24 and 25. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Run with others. Run with others. Don't run on your own. You don't need to be a Mo Farah. God has made us differently from that in the spiritual race. Run the route. Run the route. It comes up twice in these verses. The race set before us. The race set before us. Verse 1. And then drawing on the example of Jesus, it talks in verse 2 about what was set before him. I suppose there are some who run, who just sort of open their front door and head out, and they sort of pick some roads and some paths that catch their eye, and they sort of do a do-it-yourself running route, if you like. But most people have a route in mind when they run. They have a course. They have a bit of how long it is or might be. And especially if you get involved with anything organised. There's a well-laid-out route, isn't there? There's signs and there's marshals. Or if you're on the track, you've got lanes to guide you, and you've got a track round the stadium. You've got a course to follow. It's set before you. And God has laid a track before us to follow. There is a route through 2025. There may be uphills and downhills. There may be pleasant avenues and thorny tracks and paths. There may be mud as well as tarmac. But it helps us as we go into that year to have a sense of God's providence, God's ordering events, God's calling on our life, a sense of where God has placed you to live and serve, the course that is in front of you. And for you, that course may include math lessons, and it may include parenting teens. It may include traffic cues. It may include teaching from the Bible. It may include caring for aging relatives. It may include aching joints. But it's such a helpful thing to sense that this is God's route. This is what God has set before me. This is where God wants me to live my life of faith. And to run the route that is set before you. I found it encouraging thinking about that. I don't know how it started off for you. Maybe it's been a bad start, or you anticipate it will be a bad start, some difficult weeks or months. The terrain is hard, but it may not last. But it is the route that God has set for you at this time, It's the circumstances in his providence that he's brought you into. Keep trusting. Keep learning the lessons as you go. Serve as best as you can. Follow him through the route that he is guiding you. Run encouraged. Run with others. Run the route. Maybe there's some things that are helpful there already. The last three all begin with L. So that pulls them together, helps us to remember them. All from the passage. The first is run light. Run light. Well, I didn't tell you about the fourth New Year's resolution. I think it came up though. 36% of people, over a third, said lose some weight. Lose some weight. And many of us come out of this period of mince pies and big meals and chocolate and biscuits, and we feel as though we need to trim a few pounds. Well, in the Christian life picture we have here, we're urged to lose some weight, but it's not talking about calorie counting here. It's talking about excess clothing. So, perhaps it helps you to think of this. Picture a line of people, the start of a race. Athletes poised for the starting gun. There they are, lightweight, specially designed trainers, streamlined lycra, and then in the middle, there's a guy. He's got a duffel coat on. And he's in his wellies. And he's got wide leg jeans and a scarf and a bobble hat. And you think, well, he's not going to win. There's no way he's going to beat the others round the track. No, when you're running a race, you take off all the excess clothing. You have the minimum so that you can sort of run light. Hence our title, our heading. And so you have here, therefore, verse 1, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin which clings so closely, and let us run. So in here, it's a picture of sin. So the wrong things that we're prone to do, the unhelpful words that come out of our mouths, the inclinations of our heart, which are often evil, and they slow us down in the race, and they can entangle us. Some of them seem to stick to us. Some of them are very repetitive. Some of them are addictions, and they hamper us in running the Christian life and in serving the Lord. What does he have in mind? Well, in the surrounding chapters, it includes things like greed, includes sexual immorality, includes resenting authority. Many things. There are things that are particularly hampering you in serving the Lord. Things that are sort of tangled round your legs and making you shuffle rather than run. And bad habits that need ditching, rectifying. Some poor decisions which need to be readjusted. Run light. Get them out of the way. Ask for God's help. Seeking God's strength to go forward in the race without the entanglement of the sin which so easily sets us back and stops us serving. Run long. Run long. The Christian race is an ongoing race. So it's not not a sprint. It's not just a burst of activity. It's not just something for January. I guess a good number of people, and we've probably all done it, start up with sort of fresh sense of, you know, I'm going to do this exercise in January. I'm going to follow this diet in the new year. And it just sort of peters out as the days go by. The Christian race is an ongoing race. Even through the hardships on the way. And it's true for these Hebrews, this letter was written to, these sort of Jewish background Christians, and they were having opposition. It wasn't very easy. Chapter 10, this was the early part of their Christian life, verse 32 and 3, you endured a hard struggle with sufferings, sometimes being publicly exposed to reproach and affliction, and sometimes being partners with those so treated. Talks in the next verse, verse 3, some of us look up this afternoon, about hostility. They hadn't been murdered for their faith, but it seemed to be getting that way. Verse 4, in your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. In the next chapter, they're thinking of those who are in prison. Some have gone to prison for their faith. Now, to remember them in prayer. Their reputation had taken a knock. There was a strong sense of shame about being a Christian for them. And they're encouraged to keep going in following the Lord. Run long. The key word is endurance. It's in the first three verses of this chapter 12. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Talking of Jesus in verse 2, the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Verse 3, consider him who endured from sinners such hostility. You feel tempted to give up following Christ. You feel faint-hearted and weary in serving him. I remember when I began being a pastor here 17 years ago, it was at the very start of 2008, and there was lots happening, and there were lots of difficulties. There were people with illness and health concerns. There were church sensitivities, and it was a time of transition which had its strain. There was new responsibilities that I was taking on. I remember walking down a Twitten. I can picture it now. In fact, I walked down it this week and I thought back to then. And I remember thinking in a very heartfelt way, I just don't know how long I can go on like this. I don't know how long I can carry on with this. It was January the 6th. I hadn't even had the induction services. Maybe you're tempted in the same way. Following Jesus, you started. It's already difficult. People giving you a hard time. You failed. Failure discourages us, doesn't it, when we keep failing? Run long. Endure. Keep going. Perhaps you feel the same with your calling, your pathway, following the Lord in your situation. Of course, callings do change. The Lord moves us on. But whatever he's called us to do, whatever is the route before us, we need endurance. We need to endure the race that is set before us. We need to run long. Flag in. Be encouraged to endure. And a big help in doing so will be our last point. Run looking, capitals, because it's especially emphasised here. Run looking. If you do run, I don't know where you look when you run. Maybe you watch a step, there's some wisdom in that, especially if it's cross country. Or maybe you're one of these treadmill runners at the gym. I don't know what you have in front of you, but it's just the wall. Or maybe you've got your phone or you've got a TV screen there set up or something more interesting. Maybe you look ahead. Maybe you have the person in front of you. Maybe you have the finishing line in mind as you're going. Well, in this race, it's essential to look to Jesus. All of verse 2 is on it. Let us run the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. It's as if he's gone ahead. It's as if he's reached the finishing line. He's the person to especially keep in view, to keep your stamina up, to enable you to run with endurance through the difficulties. Think of who he is. You wouldn't be in the race without him, would you? He's the founder and perfecter of your faith. You rely on him. You have access to God because of him. He has died for your sins. He's given you everlasting hope. He's revealed God to you. Think of who he is. Keep that in view. Let it spring back into your step. Think of what he went through. Think of what he endured, who, for the joy that was before him, endured the cross, despising the shame. He endured out of love for you. He suffered the agony of the cross. He went through the shame from the religious authorities. The shame from the secular authorities and their so-called court and judicial system. He suffered the shame from the public who walked past him. But he kept going. He didn't give up. He did so out of love, to follow his Father's plan, to bear your sins. Think of what he went through. Looking to him increases endurance. You think, he's done it for me. Surely I can endure things for him. We're going to pick up this afternoon in thinking of verse 3 a little more. Consider him. Consider him. Think of where he is now. At the end. Raised. Exalted. Glorified. In a place of triumphant joy, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. It's worth keeping going. We'll be welcomed by the Father. We will enter the joy of the Lord. Run looking. Run looking. I have a message from the other side of the world. We got given this pennant, is it? From Rosie, you know, of Rosie Crowther, who's in Papua New Guinea. She brought this back for us one year. You may have seen it in our living room. There we go. Message from the other side of the world. Even more importantly, a message from the Bible. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Hebrews 12, verse 2. So children, you may have lost your way a bit. I've said a lot of things, haven't I? Maybe you can just, some of you are writing down, you can write that down. It's a bit like verse 2 here. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Run looking. That's the way to go forward. Ties in a bit with Thursday, doesn't it? Peter, when he was looking at his circumstances, struggling, but looking at Jesus. When things went well. So where is your gaze as you go into 2025? I ask myself that as well. This has been a good message for me. I don't know if you'll benefit, but I've benefited from looking at it. Where's our gaze as we go into 2025? As you experience hardships, is it at the hardships only? I mean, you've got to think about them. You've got to work your way through them. You've got to tackle them. But is it the hardships too much? Are you a looking down runner? Or just immediately in front of you, the hill, some of these hills, when you, if you do go running, especially around Crowborough, you know, Queen's Road is about the only flat road in Crowborough, isn't it? It's all hills. And you look up the hill and you think, oh, that's I can't get up that. That's so, it's hard to walk up, it's hard to run up. Spiritual race, our sights go further. They go to the finishing line. They go to our Saviour. They go to who he is, to what he has done for us, to where he is now, to where we are heading. Run looking. So, 2025. You find it difficult to get up in the mornings at the minute, to get going. It's hard when it's cold, isn't it? It's hard when it's dark. Much harder to get out of bed in January than it is in June, isn't it? Maybe it's like that spiritually. Start of the year. Reluctant to get going. Hide away. Retreat. Well, and hear this message this morning. Run the race of faith. Now, let me go through these headings just slowly to finish. Maybe things will spin off in your mind as prayers in response. Run encouraged. Run with others. Run the route. Run light. Run long. Run looking. Just allow a minute or so for personal prayer before we get encouraged by singing our last song. Well, let's sing together our last song. It's based on these verses, or has these verses in mind. It's also sort of a Chariots of Fire tune, so I think you'll recognise the tune, even though we haven't sung it all that much. The heroes of Scripture, with hearts full of faith, their eyes on the city, engaged in the race. Let's stand to sing our last song.
Thank you.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the encouragement of your word this morning. We pray that by your Spirit's power, it may be a word in season, a timely word to many people here in a range of situations and a range of ages. May your word be applied to them and do them good as they go forward. So bless us, Lord, as we've come under your word this morning. We pray for the glory of your name. Amen.